Somewhere over the rainbow. Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. The Lord Jesus Christ always makes it clear how he expects us to think, how he expects us to talk, how he expects us to act. Our God is not confused or confusing. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. Let unconditional love, which is something that comes to us believers from God the Holy Spirit, be without hypocrisy. In other words, let it be sincere. Abhor what is evil, simultaneously cling to what is good. You believers in Christ, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind, that is lacking, in diligence. In other words, don't be lazy. Fervent in spirit. Fervent means with a passion that is boiling over. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ as a doulos, a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week servant. Rejoicing in hope. Hope, of course, the absolute confidence concerning your future glorification as believers in Christ. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality to strangers. This is the conduct of those who are the doulos of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, especially in the face of personal tribulation. So let's begin our worship of the Lord in song. The opening song is Father, I'm Yours.
Father, I'm yours, your wanted child. You chose me for your very own. Father, I'm yours, your wanted child. You sent Christ to be my cornerstone. The love of man, you love unconditionally. In your grace I stand. Father, I'm yours, your wanted child. You took pride in adopting me. Father, I'm yours, your wanted child. Your perfect plan has set me free. As your wanted child, I'm yours. You give me your best. My destiny's in your hands. Father, I'm yours, given life eternally. Father, I'm yours. You want the best for me. Father, I'm yours, your wanted child.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful to you, our wonderful Heavenly Father, for your unconditional love toward all of us, a love that you demonstrated by sending your Son to die as a substitute instead of us. Thank you for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us through these lessons to see tribulation as a fabulous gift from your grace. Help us to know that you help us grow spiritually by putting us under pressure. Help us to handle the pressure by knowing that you have nothing against us, and that by giving us your word, we always have access to your peace, a peace which surpasses comprehension. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's lesson, Romans chapter 5, don't ever ask why bad things happen to good people. Don't ever ask why bad things happen to good people. Well, this lesson and the next lesson are being delivered to the chairs as opposed to the audience because there's no face-to-face teaching at Barah Ministries this week. And so if you notice that you aren't seeing the slides on your screen if you're watching this, that's the reason why, because Pastor Doofus thought, oh, it's going to be audio only, but I forgot that it was going to be video, too. Actually, I was going to come here in my pajamas, but I didn't. And I gave June the week off and then realized that if she wanted to, she could sing. So June took that as an opportunity to get a cold. You know, if you're going to have a week off, you might as well get a cold during the week off so you don't affect the regular thing. And poor Deacon Denny, of course, has to be here no matter what all the time, so... You know, we got Deacon Denny here, we got June here, we got a lot of empty chairs here, we got me here, and we got my glasses on because I have to start printing my notes a little bigger because it's getting a little harder to see as I progress in years. It's wonderful. Well, today's lesson from Romans chapter 5, don't ever ask why bad things happen to good people. The Bible says there are no good people. Let me repeat that. The Bible says there are no good people. And in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 23, verses which we have already studied in our Romans verse-by-verse series, and which we now recall to mind, we remember that God has told us there are no good people. So beginning at Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. There is no creature who is righteous, not even one. Verse 11, there is no creature who understands God. There is no creature who seeks a relationship with God. And we have a very different opinion of ourselves, don't we? Because most of the time we live in self-delusion, so we like telling ourselves, oh no, I understand God. Oh no, I really am seeking a relationship with God. God says no. Romans 3:12, all creatures have turned aside from God. Together, all creatures have become useless. There is no creature who does good. There is not even one. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open grave. They talk smack. With their tongues, they keep on deceiving. They lie. The poison of asps is under their lips. Romans 3:14, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Romans 3:15, their feet are swift to shed blood. They're murderers, in other words. Romans 3:16, destruction and misery are in their paths. Romans 3:17, and the path of peace they have not known. And that is our subject matter for the next few lessons. The peace of God and peace with God. And here it says in Romans 3:17, the path of peace creatures have not known. Romans 3:18, there's no respect for God before their eyes. Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the Mosaic Law says, it speaks to those who are under the Mosaic Law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Romans 3:20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law only comes the knowledge of sin. Then the great turning point for creatures, Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God has been manifested, being witnessed to both by the law and by the Old Testament prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So why do bad things happen to good people? Because there are no good people. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking in the Bible through God the Holy Spirit and through the Apostle Paul, says there are no good people, not even you. And it's just so funny to me that in this world, we're always experiencing people who love living in the delusion. So yesterday I was talking to a young lady about family and some of the trials and tribulations of family in my life. And she said, oh man, it shouldn't be that way. And she goes on to talk about how families are so great. Families are everything. Families are wonderful. My family's dynamite. My brother, my sister, my mother, my father. I said, well, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think he knows what he's talking about. He says that a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. So he says families are pretty much usually your enemies. Silence. Silence. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. It silences people. Because we want to live in the delusion that families are great, yet we're constantly getting stabbed in the back by family. We want to live in the delusion that we as creatures are wonderful, good people. And this is Satan's lie. I'm basically a good person. After all, I haven't murdered anyone. And it's amazing to me how many people have said that to me in their lifetime. It's almost like they all went to the same school. They were asked to drink Kool-Aid. And after they drank the Kool-Aid, said, I am basically a good person. I haven't murdered anybody. They said the same things. But the Bible says something totally different. And I don't know about you, but I believe what the Bible has to say. So why do good, bad things happen to good people? That's even a book. Why do bad things happen to good people is a lie, because there are no good people. So basically, when somebody asks the question, why do bad things happen to good people, pretty much whining. You know, we're whiners, because when we suffer, we don't think we should be. When we suffer, we start whining. And so we've got to take a different look at suffering and tribulation and trials and see those things from God's point of view. So why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says there are no good people. So you have to ask yourself, when suffering happens to you, why does God allow tribulation to beset you? Why does God not only allow tribulation in your life, some of them horrid, by the way, but also, why does God bring tribulation intentionally into your life? See, we're studying Romans chapter 5 right now, and we're on the first five verses, and we're taking a look at two subjects. One subject is the peace of God. The other subject is tribulation. So let's remind ourselves what these five verses of Romans say. And we've been looking at this for the last few lessons. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore keep on having peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. At the moment of salvation, you were placed into union with Christ, and now you have peace with God. With God, we have a past, which is an established fact. We are justified. God the Father is announcing our name throughout the halls of heaven, and he keeps on announcing our name for those of us who are believers in Christ. We have God's righteousness, which is our admission ticket to heaven, and therefore we have peace with God. And what does that mean? It means that God has nothing against us. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, and through our union with Christ also, we have obtained our direct access to a person of privileged rank, God the Father, who placed us into this sphere of grace in which we presently stand. And through our union with Christ also, we keep on exulting in the hope of the glory of God. See, with God, we have a future as well. We have a past, we have a present, and now we have a future. We have absolute confidence that we will personally experience the glory of God. We are being conformed, we being believers in Christ, are being conformed by God into his image. So if you believers in Christ think that there's something wrong with you, relax. God has you covered. He is conforming you into the image of his son. I was talking to a few of our non-resident congregation members this week in the Bible study for the non-residential congregation, the conversational Bible study, and they were very concerned about the things that they think every day. And what I was able to tell them is, you're perfectly normal. I think those things too. We all think those things. We're like sheep. We're always worried. We're always skittish. We don't know when to go to sleep. We don't know when to wake up. We don't know what to do. But we have a shepherd, our God. He is the one who keeps on shepherding us. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And we, believers in Christ, not only exult in these things, our past of righteousness and justification, our present peace in a sphere of grace, our future glory, but we also keep on being exalted by God the Father in our tribulations that are given to us by God the Father, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. There's the thought that we have to start getting absolutely crystal clear on in our minds, that God is shaping us with tribulation, that God brings us tribulation, that tribulation is not bad. And so you have to start, if you want to be a great golfer, you have to stop judging every shot. Every shot presents a unique challenge. It's the same in the Christian way of life. Every tribulation presents to you a unique challenge that is there for your edification, that is there for your shaping, that is there for your glorification. Romans chapter 5, verse 4. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. Hear that. Tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. God is shaping us with tribulation, and that shaping is a progressive series of things where we watch ourselves getting more and more and more mature through God's orchestration. Now, if you have any character whatsoever, because perseverance brings about proven character, if you have any character whatsoever, what you need to do is thank God for it, because it came from him. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and hope, the absolute confidence, does not disappoint, because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father as a pledge. We have God the Holy Spirit. We have his sealing ministry. We have his signature guarantee that we are saved. We have his signature guarantee that he will absolutely lead us, conform us, guide us into all the things of God. Now, believers in Christ, then, must never consider tribulation to be unusual. How would you like to be a member of the Kennedy family, an American family of Irish descent who are prominent in American politics and government? And you remember some of them because some of them are prominent public figures. President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy, Senator Edward Kennedy come from this family, and John F. Kennedy's son, John F. Kennedy Jr. And you know the things that have happened to them. John F. Kennedy assassinated. Robert Kennedy assassinated. John Kennedy Jr. crashes a plane and dies. Senator Edward Kennedy sneaks off from a party with a girl. His car drives off a bridge, drowns the girl. The Chappaquiddick incident. Those are just a few of the hundreds of things that have happened to this family. So if you think you have problems, if you think you have tribulation, read about the Kennedy family sometime, who have had so many tragedies that have pierced the worldwide consciousness that their numerous tragedies and tribulations are called the Kennedy curse. And so it's as if it is being portrayed that God has something against the Kennedy family. He does not. Many members of the Kennedy family are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that are have access to the peace of God in the face of all those tribulations. Yet for many believers, we prefer to believe Satan's lie that tribulation in our lives, that suffering in our lives, that pressure in our lives is a curse. Well, let me assure you, when believers in Christ encounter tribulation, the sky is not falling. So you don't have to be chicken little. That God has not abandoned us. So you don't have to be mad at God. God is not punishing us. The world is not coming to an end. It's not the apocalypse. Everything in our lives has not gone wrong. So there is no need to faint in your souls. God wants you to have tribulation. Romans chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Why? Tribulation brings about perseverance. That's endurance. And perseverance, endurance, brings about proven character. The more tribulation you go through, the more proven character you have. Why? Because when tribulation comes, you just look at it and you just say, okay, next. I mean, I have had this year, I have had some of the most traumatic tribulations of my entire life, and I have rebounded from them so fast it's almost dizzying, because I have had tribulation over and over and over and over and over, and especially at the hands of family. Family is a four-letter word to me. And so I look at family and I say, you know, that is not something that is pleasurable to me. When I write the book about my life and the 10 significant things that have happened to me in my life that have shaped my character, there's going to be a chapter on family, and the subtitle of it is going to be The Pain, because that's all family has meant to me, is pain. And in the last half of my life, which is coming up, the new chapter of my life being written, I hope to reverse that. I hope that what God is saying is, usually a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way if I'm at the center of the family. So let's hope that my new family gets the message from God that you don't have to be each other's enemy. I hope that happens. And if it doesn't, then I'll just have more and more proven character. So tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father as a pledge. So the Lord is with us through trials and tribulations. The omnipresent Lord is always with us at every moment in everything we go through. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Says this: the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord is not only with us during the trials, but he also goes ahead of us during the trials to smooth the path. And I wonder when trials and tribulations beset you, if you're thinking that this is just what the Lord wants to go through. I'll ask you that again. When trials and tribulations beset you, are you thinking that this is just what the Lord wants you to go through? I will tell you that during most of the tribulation of my life, I have not thought that. I have thought that God didn't like me very much, but I have since learned that he does. Anyone who would send his son to die for me pretty much likes me a whole lot. And so now I am able to entertain different thoughts during tribulation. I can say to myself, I can think, isn't it great that the Lord allows us to suffer at the hands suffer trials and tribulations instead of just sending us all to the lake of fire, which would have been his prerogative. At the moment we sinned, he could have just sent us all to the lake of fire, and he chose not to do that. So what kind of tribulation am I talking about? You know, I've always been reluctant to mention tribulation from the pulpit, and what I mean is the specific types of tribulation that people experience. But I think it's time to change that idea. You need to know what people around you are going through. What are some of these tribulations? And by the way, every tribulation that I'll mention to you on this list, I have had a friend or an acquaintance go through these very things, or I have gone through these things personally. For example, the death of a child, an incurable disease, an injury to self, an injury to others that you love, financial hardships, worry, fear, a house that burns down, earthquakes, forest fires, tsunamis, tornadoes, mudslides, birth defects, tribulations, trials, all of which we have to put up with. In the news, a Category 3 hurricane in Los Cabos, Mexico, a place I frequent, left me unable to find out how my friends there are doing, and I still can't get in touch with them because it wiped out the whole infrastructure of electricity and phone. You've seen volcanic eruptions in Japan in the news. I have several friends in Japan. A head-on collision recently killed four members of a girls' softball team from North Central Texas College when they were on a trip through Oklahoma. And I have a friend who lived through a head-on collision while her friend died. So you have had friends who have experienced horrific things by human standards. Yet how many times when they're going through those things have you gone to them and said, aren't you lucky to be going through these tribulations? God has brought these things into your life for your good. We don't say that at all. Instead, we go to them and say, I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sorry you're going through this. Well, why would you be sorry that they're going through this if tribulation brings about perseverance and perseverance brings about proven character and proven character brings about hope? So tribulations offer us a chance to appreciate life. Trials and tribulations make people aware of their need for the divine. Let me repeat that. Trials and tribulations make people aware of their need for the divine. Said another way, trials and tribulation make us intimately aware of our need for God, because most of the time when we go through trials and tribulations, we just freak out. When we realize how fragile our lives really are, when we're forced to come out of the illusion of security that we manufacture for ourselves in our lives, when our life becomes when our life is right before us as something that can be snuffed out in a second, we have to remember what James chapter 4 verse 14 says, which says this: yet you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. Today you're making plans. The people who were killed in that Los Cabos, Mexico hurricane were making plans to have a great vacation before they went down there. And when they got down there, something else happened. James 4:14. You don't know what your life is going to be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And you know, it's so funny because I have watched it over and over and over again. When people in our lives die, you know, there's a little hubbub for about a day or so, and then all of a sudden it's as if they were never here. They vanish like a vapor. And so these tribulations that you experience in life, there is an opportunity through this study for you to really look at those a different way and realize that you are nothing without tribulation. Because if you didn't have tribulation in your life, if you didn't have enemies in your life, I guarantee you, you would be a sloth who sits at home, does nothing, and is completely bored and miserable with your happiness. Tribulation sharpens our focus, gets us into action. If we are going to respond to trials and tribulations properly. Trials and tribulations make us aware of just how much we count on the Lord for everything that is important to us. Take a 5-minute break.
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God.
Dares to go against the grain and work without applause.
The man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure,
whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure.
God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men.
Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good men.
He calls the broken derelict whose life has been renewed.
He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth.
Enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good.
Welcome back. Here's a little more vivid description of some of the real things that happen to real people. Who have these things happened to that you know? How many of these things have happened to you? How many of these things could happen to you? Your 16-year-old son has just been diagnosed with a terminal illness and has only been given another 6 months to live. Your 25-year marriage is now dissolving because your spouse is trading you in for a newer model. Your 18-year-old daughter has just been murdered. Your 4-year-old son has been abducted and molested by a local pedophile, or worse, by one of your own family members. You have just lost all of your life savings as a result of corporate fraud and executive greed in the company that you've been working for most of your working life. You have just lost 3 members of your immediate family in a fatal plane crash. You yourself have been the victim of some kind of random and senseless crime, such as rape or robbery or assault. My mother was the victim of all 3 of these crimes in the neighborhood in which I grew up. You just happen to be born into an evil and dysfunctional family where the father of the family severely beats and verbally abuses you during your childhood. Yes, these are the very real things that happen to very real people, and the Lord allows them. How often do you see these things as part of God's grace to you? How often do you see these things as part of God's grace to you? So what are we to make of it now that we know that the Lord allows these things? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 3. Second Corinthians 1:3. Here's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us believers in union with Christ in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God the Father. Here it is. God gives us affliction so that we can comfort others. And when I was reading those 2 verses, I was thinking about my friend Tony LaGrasso, my friend and your friend, who is a member of our non-resident congregation. Tony went through 1.5 years of hell with bone marrow cancer. And I remember him calling me and telling me a story at the time when he found out he was cancer free. And I think he was going back for a checkup. And as he was walking through the ward where he had been, there was a young person there who was just beginning the journey into bone marrow cancer and the bone marrow transplant. And Tony was able to sit down with this young person and talk from the other end of the road and say, you know, I was where you were 1.5 years ago, and here's where I am now, completely cancer free. And so, you know, take comfort. And he was able to talk to this kid and give the kid some comfort. And I think that's just fantastic. And that's what's meant by this, that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us believers in union with Christ in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. See, as we die the little deaths that we die for Christ, as we pick up our cross and follow Christ just as he requests, if we just take time to look around us instead of fainting in our souls through our trials and tribulations, we will see all the people, all the circumstances, and all the hope that God brings into our experience to comfort us during trials. And that's what I want you to do. If you're going through any trial or tribulation today, I want you to look around you. I want you to pick your head up from feeling sorry for yourself. I want you to realize that God intended this for your good. I want you to know that if God is allowing it, it's for your good. And I want you to look around and see all the assets that he has put in your place that you are taking for granted right at this moment because you have your thumb in your mouth and you're feeling sorry for yourself. And let's get something clear. You aren't the only one that feels sorry for yourself in times of tribulation. I do too. I have a whole ritual of feeling sorry for myself. And I got to tell you, there was just a point in my life where I just decided that self-pity was not an option. I just decided that I was not going to indulge that emotion. And so, but I have, and I'm able to comfort you with this thought that I used to do that, and now I have chosen not to do that anymore. And that's me comforting you as a result of God comforting me during the time when I was going through something and being kind of goofy about it. So God brings into our experience a series of things that comfort us during the trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. But if we are afflicted, and Paul is referring to himself with this we, if we are afflicted, and we are, it's for your comfort and for your salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. You see, as pastor teachers, we suffer all the time. And that enables us to comfort you in your sufferings, because often we have experienced your sufferings most of the time. Being a pastor is a painful and joyful experience. And you know, it's actually funny to me, because I'm very open. I'm a very open book when I talk about the things that are trials and tribulations for me and hurts for me. And you can always see a little undertone when people are listening to you and you know, they start giving you these panacea solutions. Oh, well, your sons will come around. Oh, well, this will be different. That'll be different. You know, because we are so much in fantasy about trials and tribulations that we always want everything to be okay. And we never see trials and tribulations as being the things, one of the things that is okay. But it's just funny to me, though, you always see this little undertone of, God must hate you. What have you really done? Why can't you, you know, you're this big successful guy and you're this pastor. Why can't you get it together with your family? Why would you be divorced? Why would you have two sons that don't talk to you? Why would that be your experience? Why not? And you know what? What is it? Why was I looking at that as that was terrible? Because I gave my life to that family unit and to those three people that were in it. And if they choose to say, hey, we didn't like the way you did things and we don't like you, okay, so be it. So be it. So that's a trial to me. That's a tribulation for me. So be it. You know, what is the significance of it? The truth is, there is no significance to it, except the significance that I give it. If I say, oh man, that's terrible, oh man, that's awful, then oh man, it's terrible and oh man, it's awful, and I get to sit in the middle of the floor with a rubber hose, beating myself up, wondering what I could have done differently, sucking my thumb, curling up in the fetal position. That's an option. Another option is to say, God gave me this in his grace so that he could give me perseverance, so that he could give me proven character, so that he could give me hope, that God is doing this, allowing this to give me gifts. Because you know what? If you heard my family story, the relationships I have with my brothers and sisters, my extended family, my mom was from 18 kids. And so I got cousins, uncles, aunts, cross-eyed cousins, you name it, I got it. You know, crossbreeding, inbreeding, you name it, I got it. And you know, all the pain that I have suffered at the hands of family, if I told you the story, it would be too unbelievable for you to really comprehend. But God, that's a gift. See, and the only way I can tell it's a gift, other than the word of God, because I would never think it was a gift from my experience, the only way I can tell that it's a gift is because there's too much of it for it not to be a gift. It's just too silly. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that can be that bad, so bad, that people would just turn on them like that. You know? I mean, in every family, it seems like to me somebody likes somebody. But in my family, nobody likes me. You know, I feel like nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. I sing the go eat worms song all the time. And so it's too strange. And I always try to explain to people, you know, you better be real careful about getting in a relationship with me. Because getting in a relationship with a pastor is a horrible experience. It just is. And so, as pastor teachers, we suffer all the time. But the great thing is we know from this passage that it enables us to comfort you in your sufferings because we've experienced what you've experienced. We're not just sitting up here in some ivory tower pulpit talking about theory. We're talking about the beatings that we've had and then sharing with you that there is light at the end of the tunnel because there always is. Because these little deaths that we die for Christ, he always brings us to life. He always delivers us. So while being a pastor is a painful and joyful experience, it has light at the end of the tunnel. And I wonder sometimes if you realize how your words and your actions can encourage a pastor or discourage a pastor. It's really something to think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Paul's describing in 2 Corinthians 1:8 that he had no hope. Why would he have hope? The guy was put in prison about 10 times. He was beaten, scourged with a whip about 3 different times. He was stoned to death about 5 times. The guy went through hell. And so why wouldn't he be discouraged? 2 Corinthians 1:9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but that we would trust in God the Father who raises the dead in resurrection. There it is. That's why my family are all a bunch of jerks. God put me in a family of jerks. Why? So that I would learn not to trust in myself, but to trust in him. Amen?
Amen.
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 That's right. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Thank you, family. You jerks. 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, God the Father, on whom we have set our hope. See, that's it. And I will tell you that during the tribulations that have been the emotionally worst for me in my life, I could only think about my God. I could only set my hope on him. I know this passage. I have lived this passage. This is not just words to me. Now, when we go through tribulation, we have a guarantee from God that he will deliver us every single time. So we don't faint in our souls in the face of tribulation. We ought to simply ask ourselves, what is the Lord doing for me by giving me this tribulation? Instead, we often take on the thought process of gloom and doom, and we drive ourselves off an emotional cliff. We go into a state of despair. We want comfort, and we wonder why our life is being disrupted by tribulation. Well, I'll tell you why. Because comfort is your enemy. Let me repeat that. Comfort is your enemy. What has God done for you this year to disrupt your comfort? What is God doing for you right now? Notice I said for you, not to you, as you might explain it. What is God doing for you right now to disrupt your comfort, to get your attention, to move you off the current mark, to get you closer to him? What has been your reaction when God moves your cheese? As the popular book by Spencer Johnson describes it, Who Moved My Cheese? Because the cheese stations always dry up. And we, a lot of times, are like one of the characters in the book who sits there and demands that his cheese be put back. Is that you? When somebody moves your cheese, do you demand that it be put back? God moves your cheese all the time because comfort is your enemy. God means tribulation for our good. But often we think God is picking on us. Does God's unconditional love and grace toward us mean ease and comfort? Hardly. It sure didn't mean that for Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus Christ. Hey, God the Son, come here. I need you to do something. What, Dad? I'm busy right now. No, I need you to go down to earth, take on the form of a human being. Seriously? You want me to be like them? Yeah, I want you to be like them. And you know, that's the good part. The other part is I want you to not sin for 33 years, even though you're going to be tempted beyond anything that any other creature would ever be tempted beyond. And then I want you to not sin, and then I want you to get the crap beaten out of you. I want you to be betrayed at every turn by everybody that comes in contact with you. And then I want you to go die the worst death known to mankind, crucifixion. And then while you're on the cross, if that's not bad enough, have every sin of every creature who ever lives on the earth imputed to you and judged. Okay? Hey, sounds like a good time, man. Let's go. You're complaining about your tribulation and your trials? We should hardly do that. So, to you parents, here's what you say that is right out of the pit of hell. I want my children to have it easier than I had it. I want my children to have it easier than I had it. Well, that's not God's philosophy. It's certainly not God the Father's philosophy. He didn't want Jesus Christ to have it easier than he had it. Romans chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint because the unconditional love of God the Father has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father. Tribulation has a divine purpose. Through tribulation, God the Father is conforming us to the image of his Son. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this. For those whom God the Father foreknew, that's believers in Christ, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now let's close this with 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Beloved, divinely loved one, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. So, in other words, don't freak out when you're going through trials and tribulations. This is something strange happening to you. 1 Peter 4:13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Count it all joy. Know what I mean? To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, and you will be, you are blessed, because the Holy Spirit of glory and of God the Father rests on you. 1 Peter 4:15. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or as a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God by this name, Christian. 1 Peter 4:17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, and it does, what will become of those who do not obey the gospel of God? 1 Peter 4:18, and if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? The godless man and the sinner are referenced to unbelievers. If it's difficult that the righteous is saved, that's believers in Christ, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? 1 Peter 4:19, therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Well, we'll continue our study of tribulation knowing that God offers us tribulation for our good. Let's close with the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when God makes a promise, it is a guarantee. For by his glory and excellence, the Lord Jesus Christ has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us believers in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in union with Christ. God the Father, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also, with our union with him, freely give us believers in Christ all things? Therefore, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. Closing song, Take My Hand.
Listen up, beloved children. Hear what the Spirit has to say. The Christian way of living, the Zoe life, is lived by having faith. Your faith. Walk in good works divine, and know that you've been forgiven as you redeem the time. Take my hand, take my hand, take my hand. I am the
for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.